in what might be seen as a strong contrast to what we've just sung. The call of John is that we have fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, because this will make our joy complete. He tells us how we may know if we are having genuine fellowship with God and His children. He says that we will walk in the light and not the darkness. When we sin, and we will sin, we confess our sin, knowing that God is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us. We show we know Him by keeping His commandments. And the supreme test of our keeping His commandments is seen in our love for God and our love for one another. There's no hatred of our brothers and sisters. Now, in this portion of John's letter, he addresses the church as a whole, and then he addresses two fundamental age groups within the church. So let's turn together, if you haven't already, to the second chapter of 1 John. We'll be reading verses 12, 13, and 14. If a page number in the Pew Bible helps, it's on 1302. 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. We need to hear what John is writing. And so I say, attention, all ages. I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know Him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I'm writing to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this statement of reality. We pray, Lord, that you would be pleased to encourage us as we fall into one or two of these categories. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm impressed that in these three verses of John, he tells us who we are, not what we are to do. I love it when God sets before us what we know to be indicatives. Now, what is an indicative? My dictionary says an indicative is a verb form that represents an act or state as a fact, serving to indicate. An indicative tells it like it is. This is who you are. Some would have us understand that God rests all of His imperatives, all of His commands, all of His thou shalts on the indicative. And this morning, it's our privilege to have John open up to us the indicatives as related, first of all, to the church, and then secondly, to two people groups within the church. I agree with those commentators who would see this word from John to us as, first of all, addressing us as the church, and then secondly, as the two primary categories of people within the church. So, the church as little children. The church as little children. You and I are addressed by John as little children. Technia mou, my little children, is how he began this second chapter. Six other times throughout this letter, he will address the technia, the little children. And it shouldn't surprise us. John would talk to us, the congregation of God's people, as little children. Because as we think back on the time that John spent there with Jesus and the other apostles in that upper room when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper that we delighted in last Lord's Day, John heard Jesus after he had dismissed Judas. John 13:31-35. When he had gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once." And Jesus, speaking to those 11 apostles who were still there with him in that upper room, "Little children," he says to them, "yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, by your love for one another." And so John, in his letter, will speak to us as little children and call us to love. Why? Because the foundation of the church, these 11 little children, are called upon to love one another in such a way that the world will know that they are Jesus' disciples. And they'll want to know this Jesus who has so impacted their lives that they love one another. You see, he speaks to us in this letter as little children the church as a whole, because he speaks to the foundation of the church. The apostles and the prophets. Remember Ephesians 2:20. Jesus the cornerstone. But they the foundation. Little children. They, the little children who are the foundation. We, the little children who are being built up upon them. How is it so? How is it so that we may be called by John little children? Well, he tells us two reasons. I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven for his sake. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. We do understand that entrance into the church, entrance into the kingdom of heaven, entrance into the family of God is rooted and grounded in the work of Jesus Christ, who is the propitiation for our sins. He is the one who enables us to regain favor with a holy God, as he bears the wrath upon himself that we deserve for our sin. And it's for Jesus' sake the Holy Spirit comes and he applies that redemption to our lives, so that by faith we begin to comprehend and understand that we have access to God, we have fellowship with God, we have union with God through Jesus Christ, and therefore the forgiveness of our sins in him. Who are we as little children? We are those whose sins are forgiven. Doesn't that bring praise to your lips and adoration to your heart? It's as we appreciate that we have been forgiven our sins, that we understand Jesus teaching us in that sermon that we call the Sermon on the Mount, when he was teaching his disciples how to pray. Our Father in heaven. And you see, when we come to appreciate the fact that our sins are forgiven, we come to appreciate the fact that we are then welcome into the family of God, and we may now call him Father. Father. Do you rejoice? Do you find greatest satisfaction in your life, knowing that you are little children? Children whose sins are forgiven. Children who are able to say, Daddy, Father, thank you for adopting me into your family. If that doesn't grip us, that doesn't bring praise to our hearts, and I wonder if we really do appreciate much of what David was praying for us and the intercessory prayer. Or have we come to the place that we think we've got it all together in our lives? And we don't have to deal with sin. And we don't have to be reminded that our sins are forgiven for Jesus' sake. Rejoice in knowing your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven and God is your Father. The church has little children. Then he goes on to address the church's fathers. The church's fathers. Verses 13 and 14, John speaks of fathers. He could just as well say mothers. Because in essence, what he's addressing is that category of people who are part of the church, the little children, who are mature. Listen to what he says. It's so important. He repeats it twice. Fathers, I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. Who is from the beginning? John begins his letter, doesn't he? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. This life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. What separates men from boys, women from girls, fathers and mothers from sons and daughters? Fathers and mothers know him who was from the beginning. They know him who was there in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. They know him and what it means that he indeed is the one who created all things. And so they understand that we're not the product of time and chance and time and chance. They understand that we are image of God. And they understand as they go forth day in and day out, they're vice regents for Jesus. They're Christ's rulers on this earth, serving this creation. So it doesn't groan and travail awaiting the revealing of the sons of God. But fathers are there, mothers are there, nurturing the creation. So that you fathers and mothers, as you go forth to work, you recognize that you're working for him who was from the beginning, ultimately. And you've worked your way through Leviticus and Numbers. And you've begun to understand how those types and those shadows that are so hard for us as little children to work our way through. You've worked your way through. And you understand what it's like as you read the scriptures. Because it's as though you were with those disciples on that road to Emmaus. that road to Emmaus that's written about there in Luke chapter 24 and there particularly in verse 44. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Fathers and mothers are able to set forth before little children how Jesus is the fulfillment of Genesis through Malachi. Because Matthew, through Revelation, is also part of our meditation. As they give us that insight that Jesus gave his disciples there on the Emmaus Road, how he is the one there in the Old Testament. Just a plug, tonight we're looking at fulfilling the law as we consider Jesus coming. You see the maturity that he speaks about in those who are fathers and mothers in the church. They know him who is from the beginning. And they know how to go from the beginning to the end of Revelation to set forth Jesus. A healthy and growing congregation following the Lord's leading knows what it is to have mature manhood in the fathers and mothers. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. No longer children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love. The fathers and the mothers build up the little children, the church, in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And so Paul writes to the Corinthians in chapter 4 and verse 15. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you have not many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. And he goes on in verse 16 and he says, I urge you then to be imitators of me. Fathers and mothers, who are you imitating Christ for? Little children, who are your Pauls? We give God the praise that there are fathers and mothers in this congregation who are able and who do say, follow me as I imitate Christ, so follow me. Fathers, your fathers, because you know him who was from the beginning. That's who you are. Because of who you know. And then he moves our attention on to the church's young men. The church's young men. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. young men, young women, did you catch who you are? You're overcomers of the evil one. You are overcomers of the evil one. How? Because you're strong. How are you strong? Because the Word of God abides in you. Because the Word of God abides in you. And certainly, that sixth petition, as Matthew gives us an account of that prayer that Jesus gave to teach His disciples how to pray, that sixth petition is well used in the life of every young man and every young woman. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. What does John write to us as young men and young women? Young women. You have been delivered. You are an overcomer of the evil one. How is it that young men are overcomers? I suggest one portion of God's Word that helps us appreciate that is Romans chapter 8 and verses 31 through 39. Our strength, our victory over the evil one comes because we are secure in the love of God. Let me ask you, children, I mean little children, when do you feel like you can conquer the world? When do you feel like nobody will overthrow you? Don't you agree with me? You feel like you can conquer the world when you know your parents love you no matter what. Have you felt that? Your parents affirm who you are. And in their affirmation of love for you, you go out as more than a conqueror. Because I've got Dad and Mom in my back pocket. Am I right? That was true for me. My father didn't have to come to the basketball games and cheer me on. I knew he was rooting for me no matter where he was, no matter what he was doing. Because he was my dad. And he loved me. Even when I was playing basketball that he didn't like. It wasn't his sport of choice. As you see, it's tucked right in the midst of that verse 37 that we find we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. Young men and women, there's your strength. That's what He's talking about. That's what you enjoy. And that's why that eighth chapter of Romans is so important. Because we know in that eighth chapter of Romans that those who are loved by God and called according to His purpose have everything work together for their good. Even as we sang in that psalm, the time we're defeated, it's for our good. So that brings about godly repentance. Because we've depended on our own strength and not the strength that we have in Christ Jesus. We're thankful as a congregation. We're working on memorizing Scripture. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, as a gift of God, not as a result of works. Lest any should boast. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. We're working on that. Our young men are those who hide the Word of God in their hearts. And we do so in anticipation, do we not? What the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans there in that 16th chapter and that 20th verse. There is that time coming, is there not? When the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Little children, your sins are forgiven. You know the Father. Fathers, mothers, you know Him who was from the beginning. Young men and young women, you are overcomers. Overcomers of the evil one. Because of the strength that you have for the Word of God in your heart, and that Word of God memorized in the Scriptures sets Christ in our hearts. Christ is the one who says, it's expedient for me to leave that I might send the Holy Spirit, that He might dwell within you and bring to your remembrance all the things of me. This is John's description of the church. Of these two fundamental groups of people in the church. As I wrestled with an illustration that I would hope could bring forth what John is calling forth from us, I thought of the movie The Incredibles. Those of you who've seen it know the strength of the parents and know that they said to their two children, you have to act like normal children. You're not allowed to use your speed in gym class. You're not allowed to use that protective force when somebody's bullying you. Some of you have seen it. Some of you remember it. But do you remember what happened at the end when the parents got called into battle with an arch enemy? What did they do? You two need to start using your strengths. That which is unique about you, go ahead. And you can remember the little girl saying, but mommy, you told me I'm not allowed to do this, but mommy. Little children, fathers, young men, being united to Jesus Christ by grace through faith means our sins are forgiven. The Word of God abides in our hearts. We are more than conquerors. Now live it. Be who you are in Him who has made you who you are. And go forth as more than conquerors through Him who conquered the evil one when He came out of that grave and crushed His head. So that we and be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Be who you are. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you for reminding us who we are. Now help us, our Father, to live as the people we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.